This is an Enterprise Times podcast. Today I'm talking with Matt Smith, Global Chief Architect at IFS, about its business value engineering process and how the current climate has changed its approach. Matt, hi.
Hi, Steve.
IFS has a slightly different approach to business value engineering. Could you just explain what that is?
Business value engineering in the world of software and business is quite a well-known term. Most companies have business value engineers. Value engineering is a process. In most cases, you'll see that it's about buying my stuff. So I will work with you to construct a business case so you buy my stuff, whatever that is, a service or a product. It's not what we do with my team. So my team of business value engineers, it's more focused on business change. So you are operating a business now, and this is its current state. What would a future better state be? And what would be the benefit of moving from state A to state B? So it's more about the benefit of change rather than supporting the purchase of some sort of product.
And how do you go about doing that?
Typically, we have a group of value engineers, so we don't use very many of them in these sorts of engagements. And what you would do is engage with a client around a core set of business processes, something that's very representative of what they do as an organization. And you really need to get into the meat of how they operate those processes, what systems they use, what people do, what work, how they do it, and to really examine from the ground up what could be done to improve, move towards best practice, benchmark against those best practices to make sure you could measure a financial return from some sort of change. There is a trust element in the process of building out a business case with value engineering to make sure that everybody understands that the numbers are agreed, validated, and can be used to then promote the change.
When you talk about numbers, are you talking about financial numbers or are you talking about some softer benefits such as employee satisfaction or customer satisfaction or quality?
Really, there are only three kinds of business case when you're in the boardroom: growing my revenue, cutting my costs, or mitigating some sort of risk, like regulatory risk. Those three business case types are what we're really after, and they're financial. They all have a major financial calculation involved. However, the softer benefits, as you mentioned, typically also draw into those three primary business case types. For example, if you had a customer who was really unhappy with your service, you're going to churn those customers more frequently. Cost of onboarding a new customer is higher than keeping one. It's likely your revenue would decline. So a poor service leads to poor revenue. So you can tie soft things to the most part to some kind of revenue impact on your organization. Clearly, there are some things that you just can't measure. In a business case, you typically capture those things as what you call zero lines, something we know have value, but it's just too hard to figure it out. So you agree with everybody that you're going to just record it as zero.
If these conversations are at the boardroom level, do they need to be involved or what is their involvement in this process?
Typically, when you conduct a business value engineering exercise itself, you need to get into the nuts and bolts, the weeds of how the company conducts its process. And you're looking for variance and waste. This is sometimes under the banner of something called lean. When you're doing that work, you're looking for how many different ways do they do this process or this thing, and how many steps does it take to do it? And if you find all that information out, then you can start doing really high quality financial calculations. The sorts of people you need involved, typically there are three broad categories of people before you then present up into a boardroom. The first category is primarily the executive area. So these are line of business owners. So these are the man or the woman that really understands and owns that core process. For example, you might have a manufacture to order process, and that would belong in a particular line of business. So the head of that line of business needs to be involved in these kinds of exercises. In the middle group, you have the general practitioners, the people that then execute the steps in that process, the work. This is the bulk of the workers that are involved in that thing. And lastly, you have effectively the end users. So these are the people that would consume the service that that main process makes up. It could be an end customer itself, somebody you're selling to, but in general, it can be also internal end users.
How have you traditionally done that kind of pre-COVID-19?
Because this is really quite in the weeds of how a company operates, you generally go on site. We often call it walk the factory or walk the fiber. You're trying to really get close to their business. Obviously, in their business, it's their organization. They know how it works very well. So you conduct interviews. But there's just nothing that replaces getting on site and physically watching and looking and walking and seeing how they do the things that you're trying to research and trying to figure out whether they can be improved. I myself personally have walked large dockyards in the shipping world, book printing facilities, manufacturing plants, chemical factories. I've had the pleasure of walking around some pretty amazing businesses, airports. Until you physically get on the ground, it's really quite hard to ascertain all of the areas of potential benefit. So it's usually a multi-week process where you're on site interviewing people. That's what it was pre-COVID.
That sounds like that is very difficult to have changed. How have you managed to do that during the lockdown?
It was pretty tough, but 5 weeks ago, and it's literally just 5 weeks ago, I sat with a small team of people, and if there's one thing that COVID has done, it's brought people together in a beautiful way. Obviously, it's a terrible situation, but if you take that energy it can create with people trying to be collaborative virtually, obviously, we got a small team of people together and we said, how on earth can we replicate the brilliance of business value engineering and the impact it has on making choices to change when we can't go on site? So 5 weeks ago, that meeting happened. 4 weeks ago, one of the team members said, I think I can configure some software very, very quickly that we can conduct virtual interviews, like you and I are talking on this podcast, Steve. Why don't we have an interview process? But rather than just talking, why don't we have some software in front of us where we can start to record and agree how the process looks? What kind of costs or impacts we could make if we made changes? Could we look at benchmarks that are internationally agreed together and see how they would be applied to your processes and what you do? Could we then get lots of people over a period of a day or so and do little short 30, 40 minute interviews and all check the same numbers and add little extra bits, almost crowdsource where the improvements could be had and compare them to benchmarks? And we said to a guy called Brendan, he said he could do this. Well, how long do you think it will take you to configure this software? And this is the wonderful world we live in of modern software technology. The company that I'm at had a piece of software that do this. And 1 week later, no joke, the guy presented back to the small team, here it is. Here is the first cut of the software. So that was 2 weeks in. 3 weeks into this work, we put it out to some existing customers and said, could we trial it with you? We've already done business case work with you the old way, pre-COVID. Would you be kind enough to let us do this post-COVID with a new digital engagement method that's more about crowdsourcing the information to see whether we get something similar? And I think one of the wonderful things, again, as COVID has brought people together, is that we tried this with three customers and all three customers said yes. They were willing to do that for us and spend time and effort with us to see whether this worked. We trialed it. We did that for a week. It worked brilliantly. We then rolled it out to a broad range of customers. There's another thing that COVID's done that's amazing, is that because we all have less travel time and we're all looking for how do we come out of this better after the lockdown's finished? How do we not only survive, but thrive afterwards? And that kind of survive and thrive mentality has brought people together to try and do something positive. So people are finding this is a very positive engagement, very quick to do, and the output is very easy to consume because it's all online in a secure cloud. So we don't even need to send emails. It's very easy to conduct. That's the new normal for us.
Obviously, you listed some of the advantages, so the reduction in travel costs. Are there any other advantages using this method?
It's faster. It's absolutely faster. We normally would spend about 3 weeks of time conducting a business value assessment, they're called, it's BVA. These more digital-oriented versions, because they're based on benchmarks and best practices, and we're using some state-of-the-art software technology to be able to conduct these interviews and these engagements, we're conducting this work in about 3 days. I didn't think it could be done that fast going into this. It's really surprised me. What surprised me also is how our customers, clients have really embraced this. By the time we were ready to go with this, we were sort of 3-4 weeks into the process. And by then, everybody was getting used to remote working and video conferences and so on. And suddenly we found that we were looking at each other's video rather than looking at yourself in the bottom right-hand corner, checking out whether your hair was okay. So it became almost the new normal to have that remote interview and remote interaction, which really did help things. There are some disadvantages, but the advantages far outweighed them.
So what are the disadvantages then, if there are some?
When you're on site, walking a factory floor or an aircraft hangar or a defence facility, there's nothing that beats the human eyes spotting something unusual. I'm pretty sure that anybody would recognise that if you're walking around a production facility, you get an opportunity to see things and ask questions that you wouldn't necessarily ask because you just don't know to ask because you're blind to that. You don't see everything. That means that a digital business value assessment or a DBVA rather than the on-site one is necessarily compressed. So you do have to invest a little bit of time. So we spend a whole day working with the customer to make sure the process that we select to look at is highly representative of their business, is well enough understood, and we can deep dive on it really heavily, really strongly. We go very deep. So it's rather than going very broad and a little bit deep, we go very deep but quite narrow, and then extrapolate from that what the impact of change would be on your business from a financial perspective. It's taking a different approach, but we've learned with this amazing experience we're having that it's in many ways better. It's faster, it's more precise, it's very focused and gives results very quickly, and most of our customers prefer it. So the old way, we're learning maybe we won't fully go back to it. We might use both of these methods in conjunction to do a faster, better, smoother job.
Effectively, what you're saying is that you're missing out on what Sumantra Ghoshal calls the smell of the place. When you go in, there's that feeling as you walk around, I assume, that you just don't get really in a video conference at the moment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What I'm hoping, one of the areas of technology that the company I'm working at, IFS, is exploring is augmented reality. I'm hoping that as people get more and more used to remote working and remote assistance, that we'll start to see things like augmented reality really coming into play. It's quite different, to be clear, from just doing a video call with each other. I can actually overlay things on that video and I can point to things on that video and we can interact in a more natural fashion. I would love that technology to really start to come into play in things like digital business value assessment. So you can walk me around the factory, take your phone or your tablet, and let's have a walk and a tour. So I can at least get some of that sense of the place, to your point about the smell of the place. So at least I can get at least a look at the place. That is something I'd love to see explored in the future.
Do you think some of the advantages at the moment you're realizing more because people are at home, they are in lockdown, and they're not able to have their normal interruptions on businesses that they used to have?
That's true. I think there are two areas that have changed with just us as people. The first area is obviously many of the executives, like line of business owners that you would need to get to, you have to get to do business value assessments, are more available. They're not in their normal mode of working, so they are more available. That's helpful. Obviously, that's going to change, but they are more available. The other thing that I've really seen is something I'm quite pleased to see, delighted, because COVID is such a human thing. It has really impacted a lot of people. A lot of people are very worried about their jobs, about their health, about their family and their colleagues. It has created this sense of wanting to do something valuable rather than just sit in your office and stare at your screen waiting for the next email to come in because you're not doing what you normally do. So I'm seeing people generally being more brought together, if that makes sense, in what can we do to add value so that we don't just survive. We need to thrive afterwards. And that's really true for a lot of businesses right now. Doing something like this brings a group of people together around a very focused activity. It's very visual, very easy to see what would be the impact of change from a financial perspective on your company. It's in your face, literally on a screen. You can see the numbers. And it's very easy to collaborate using these sorts of new digital tools. So it coalesces people around something positive rather than just sitting there staring at a screen. Those two factors have really helped this leap forward much quicker than I expected and anticipated.
You mentioned you trialled this at three existing customers who'd already been through the process. So what value did they see out of it, having done the repeat? And did they go through the same processes that you did the first time, or did you look at new processes?
In one case, we looked at new processes, and so they agreed to work with us with a new method and new technique, having already gone through the on-site version, but look at new processes. They were interested in, okay, well, you did a good job last time. Perhaps we could use the tools to look at other valuable areas. So they bought into the idea of a business value assessment, but they wanted to do it somewhere new. The other two, we literally just translated exactly what we'd done on site to a digital form. What they got out of it was something that was much easier to share. It was fully visual. It wasn't a set of Excel spreadsheets, Word documents, and PowerPoints. It was live. And because it's software, you can go in and make changes really easily. And I can tweak numbers and move dials and widgets to see what impact things would have. So they get the opportunity to experiment a bit more easily rather than trying to understand a spreadsheet or change a PowerPoint presentation. And of course, they can then share it internally inside their organization. As I said, it's in a secure cloud. The beauty of that is that you log in if you're allowed to, and you can look at it at your leisure whenever you want, anywhere. You don't need anybody to help you do that. And you can make changes and share it internally in your organization. It's just a different approach that adds different kinds of value.
Traditionally, business value engineering has been done by vendors to say, buy our software because it's going to save money and give you this is the ROI. It sounds like that's not necessarily the only purpose of what your approach is. Are you also doing it for customer success and in-life customers?
Yes, absolutely. I'll make a couple of comments on that because it's a really important point you made. Traditional business value engineering, which has been around for over 20 years, and I'm sure people have been doing business cases for many decades, buying my stuff doesn't build trust in business-to-business relationships. Working together to figure out, is there a way we can collaborate to improve this business from where it is now to some point in the future? If we use technology or services to do that, then it's a second stage where the vendor of that service or technology needs to prove that they're the best people to do that business work with. For the context of going from as-is to a to-be better state of business, during that process, we have to try and understand whether we can all work with each other. Any kind of trust building, there are three pillars to. You have to have a clear, common, shared vision. This is where we are. This is where we're going to go to, working together. You have to have an understanding of the value of that change. So nobody makes any mistakes. We don't do things that wouldn't add value, wouldn't work for you, wouldn't work for us. We have to have that mutual understanding of the value of change. And then finally, we have to agree what the risks of change are and work through them. And can we figure out what risks we can mitigate and what we cannot? The ones you can't, that then becomes a really simple business decision. Do we or don't we? Trust building is really important in change programs. Everybody knows that have been doing large change programs. Building trust, I think, requires those three elements, and value work is one of them. Collaborating together to try and figure out what change looks like and the value of it causes you to understand how to work with each other, which solves some of the problems of a common vision and the risk of change and working together on that change.
Is this an additional service that you offer to in-life customers?
Yes, it is an additional service. It's a practice inside our company. We have a group of practitioners that are specialists at doing just this work. But we've also trained champions in our field teams. And we've also applied this into our delivery model as well. So not only is this pre-delivery where we're working out, is this something a customer should do as a change and how would they do it best? But also if the customer then selects IFS during delivery, we move into something we called business value assurance, which is let's make sure that during delivery, we track and trace the impact on that initial business case work. Are we still on track? Does anything need to be tweaked? So there's regular engagement around that initial business case and to make sure that we're tracking as best as we can. Obviously, with any kind of delivery program, there's always in-life changes as things get discovered, as the market shifts and we want to change what we're doing as the project. There's a phrase in the military, the first casualty of war is the plan. In a real large change program, the first casualty of a change program is the business case that went into it. So you have to recognize it's a living, breathing case that changes as you learn and grow together in that change. Doing this in life, in delivery, is as important, if not more so, than doing the initial business case work. At the end of the whole thing, really, you should be sitting down as a group of people and looking at what was done, comparing it to what you thought was going to happen going in and what changed during, to make sure you can report positives, successes, negatives where you've had failures, so you learn from those failures and go into the next project more well-informed and better armed to make sure you deliver the value that you originally thought you were going to do.
From a customer or prospect point of view, are there any preparatory steps they should undertake in this new current norm?
Yes, absolutely. We do actually issue a document to customers. One of the most important things is if you think about trying to do an accelerated assessment of change inside your company, you can't do like a broad brush and look at everything you do. You have to do something really focused. That focus, often you'd call it a business process, like order to cash or manufacture to order or whatever it is that's representative of what you do as a company. Does it touch a representative set of customers, set of your staff, set of your systems and technologies and processes or production plants? So you need to look at something that's representative because this is a much more focused engagement. Right up front, we would need to work with the customer and the customer needs to help us understand what is a representative process because they know their business better than anybody else does. That's a real upfront commitment we would need. The second thing is clearly we need to interview people who understand that process and are involved in that process and agree the key performance indicators or KPIs for that process so that we can really dive into it and be focused. So the right people need to be backfilled and we need to agree what that process is up front before you even start.
If this is an iterative process, you've mentioned augmented reality as kind of a next step forward, but is there anything else you're looking to do in the future to enhance this?
I think this is something that could be really quite exciting. I've got grand visions for this over the coming years. I believe that you could attach this kind of business value engineering work and value assessment work, especially now I've absolutely seen you can do this in crowdsourced type software environment in a living, breathing, real document, if you like, though it's not a document, it's kind of graphical and all online. I think you could tie this stuff into actual operational systems like enterprise resource planning or field service management or enterprise asset management, core system of record technology. Wouldn't it be cool and amazing if you could attach to those systems live forward projections of business value? So you could see, if I made changes here, really, what would it do? So I could run almost like a digital twin of my organization, a DTO. What would it look like from a value perspective if I made these system changes or these process changes? And I could then get a real better business value window on those traditional core systems of record. And that's something that we're already starting to explore at IFS with the R&D organization. And it really excites me. It's something that I think could change the face of some of these system of record type products and tools and make them real value-driven engagements.
Matt, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for talking to me, Steve.